we begin, we have a few announcements to make. First off, if you look in your chimes, there's an insert about Coffee House. It's going to be coming up, this Friday? This Friday, and then the rest of the schedule is right there. It's always a good time. They have a lot of talented musicians and people that sing. So if you're interested either to showcase your talent or come to listen, that'll be this Friday. The green insert is the Super Bowl cook-off. On the day of the Super Bowl, we always have a soup cook-off, and everybody brings different kinds of soups, and we have little taster samples, and then you can buy some if you want. And it's a good time, and the one person who makes the best soup gets a trophy. I had it a couple years ago, just saying. But that's probably not going to happen this year because I'm a little discombobulated this year, okay? The other thing is, if you look at the back of your chimes, we have Zumba class and Women's Bible Study this week, Kids Club, AA, Circles, Coffee House. We have all kinds of things going on at this church. Also, we're work day on Tuesday, and if you haven't picked up your offering envelopes, they're over there. Are there any other announcements? Cheryl?
Yes, the junior choir will be practicing after church. We'll probably try to practice every Sunday unless the weather or other things happen, but we're going to just do a brief practice. The junior choir.
Also, I'd like to, yes, John, Sonny.
Well, I would just like to say that I had some guests in church today. You look behind me, this is my mother.
Yes. I say they're a pretty beautiful family. Thank you for coming. We're glad you're here. And I'd like to thank all those who are giving my daughter warm wishes on her big move.
Welcome to the Lord's Day. It's our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment of time in silence as we prepare to our hearts and minds to worship together.
The opening hymn is "To God Be the Glory." It's in the Brown Hymnal, number 363.
To God be the glory.
the living water, a water that makes us new. God's voice calls from this water, a water that offers us a new vision and purpose. Listen for his voice. Let us pray. Glorious God, ruler enthroned over all, you stretched out the heavens and gave life and breath to all who walk upon the earth. In your glorious might, bless us and strengthen us with peace and justice. Astonish us with your power, O God, through Jesus Christ, who was baptized by John, that we might be baptized, and through the Holy Spirit, who had lightened like a dove upon Jesus, and who would light upon all who are baptized in Jesus' name. Let us pray like Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Comes together to share tithes and offerings. Jesus Christ came to proclaim a message of peace to all the people. All are loved by God. Let us generously, out of this Christian longing for peace, give. Our offertory hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, number 215, Tell Me the Story.
Tell me the story of Jesus, crying on my heart every nerve. Tell baptized by John, anointed by the Holy Spirit, anointed with power for the healing of all. Use us and our guests to bring new life to our world. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is in Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 to 3, 1 to 7, and that's in the Old Testament, page 672 in your pew Bible. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you my name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you. I give people in return for you. Nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. Our anthem this morning by the Sanctuary Choir is Beautiful Savior.
And earlier in Isaiah, actually from the chapter 9, we are reminded, and we heard over the Christmas season, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and we're going to add one more description today, Beautiful Savior.
welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this beautiful but cold January Sunday. As we gather this morning, there is a great deal to give thanks for and a great deal to ask God's help for. I want to start by first off, as you have just done, thanking the choir and thanking Wanda for their beautiful music. As most of you know, we have engaged in a campaign. We are going to upgrade our organ, and we've already started the process of that, and we are raising money to help with that. And after Easter, then the organ, the console, is going to be taken out and worked on, and an upgrade will be brought to us. And what that means is that for a period of time, we will be without the organ. But, as Wanda has just shown us, and as she often does, there is some serious beauty in just the piano. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if you've ever experienced, like I do, a band has a hit and it's great, but then they do the acoustic version. And that's cool, too. And that's what we're going to be having soon. We should give thanks, as always, to those who share their talents with us and make our worship dynamic and beautiful to experience. As we gather this morning, we also want to give thanks for all that's happening in the life of the church and all those who have gathered to worship together. I know also that we have some prayer requests, and I'm going to ask Sierra. I don't know if you know where I know, you should always be paying attention. The prayer book in the narthex, if you could grab that for me, because I know that there is a large prayer there that we want to share together, please bring it forward. It's in the narthex, right through those doors. We're going to be lifting up our concerns, our joys with one another, and we have many who are ill. I know that, so we want to pray for Roxanne, who has been battling strep throat and other ailments this week. We also want to pray for Jesse Dean, which I believe we did add to our prayer list last week. She continues to struggle with some illness and sickness. Thank you. We also want to pray for Ron Sechrist, who has had both of his eyes worked on, his cataract surgeries, and they are going well, and he is doing better. But I know he, as well as others, have not come out on a very cold day like today, so we want to pray for them also. And then also, we've been asked to pray for Haley Nicholson. Continue recovery. There's a fundraiser for her family today, a spaghetti dinner at the Sons of Italy that is 12 to 6 p.m. It costs $8 for her and for her treatment. What other joys and concerns do we have to share with one another this morning? Any others? Linda?
A friend of mine from Missouri called and said that she recently lost her mother, and I'd like prayer for her. She's going to travel up here to have her buried up here.
Would you like to share a name?
Rhonda.
Rhonda. We'll pray for Rhonda, who lost her mother. Yes, Tanya? Congratulations. Will you say the name for me again?
Ryzen.
Ryzen? All right. Ryzen is rising. That is wonderful news. We share your joy. I had another grandson. How many does it make? How many grandchildren now?
Seven.
Seven. Lucky number seven. So we congratulate you and give thanks for that. I also was able to visit with Stetson this week, and it was a joy. He looks a lot like his brother. A lot like his brother, and he's doing better. He's at Children's Hospital, and we pray for his soon, I wouldn't say return home, he's never been home. We pray for his homecoming and a dedication to come soon, so we give thanks for that. And pray for Roseanne, who's been going up every day, so tired, she's very tired. Let's pray for her. Dawn? Thank you for reminding us of those who are out in the cold and don't have a place to go to keep warm. We give thanks for those who help to take care of them and give thanks that our Lord calls us to care for them as best as possible. Thank you, Don, as we pray for them and pray for ways in which we may help them. Ken?
I have a joy and a concern. First, joy is I have a grandson that's having a birthday today, and I still can't get over this, but he's 20.
Oh.
Before they went to Maryland. And she had this pet store down there.
We give thanks for the birthday of your grandson, 20 years old, as you say, but also mourn for the Bargeman family on the passing of Donna. Arnold?
I'll just give you a little update on Myron Hosh. I talked to him yesterday. Most of you know who he is. And he's just recovering now from pneumonia. But he's the most positive person I've ever seen. I talked to him. He's really up. And just amazing to see how much belief he has. He's going to get better. He's paralyzed from the waist down. He's in a motorized wheelchair. But that guy doesn't.
We give thanks for Larry's spirit. He is recovering from pneumonia, you say, and we pray that he will continue to get better. Seeing none other, let us... Mike?
I don't know the details of my friend Racine Beckel from Washington. She was in the emergency room this morning. It's still people are okay, but is that for her?
We will pray for her. I know that she was... here a few, back when Mike preached this summer, and she's been here a few times, we pray for her. She is at the hospital, the emergency room. We pray for Racine Bechtel. Now, seeing none other, let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord of all creation, we confess that sometimes, as individuals and as your church, we do not always live up to your lofty expectations. For we know that Jesus Christ tells us to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, and yet we fall short. Yet we fail to follow the example of your love, and yet we harbor animosities and racial prejudices, and we often ignore the cry of the needy. We have not pursued justice for the helpless. We pray, Lord, that you will forgive us our self-centeredness and give us a heart to do what is right. That you will open our eyes to the needs that are before us, within our congregation, within our city and neighborhood, and within our world. Sensitize us, Lord, to the issues of justice that are happening or injustice that are occurring. And help us not to feel powerless. For in many ways, we are the most powerful generation that have ever lived. And too often, we throw our hands up and say, what can we do? But if you help us, Lord, to see beyond our own needs and the needs of our loved ones, if you help us to walk in the shoes of others, if you give us a heart of empathy and love, we can do what we can, small as it may be, to make the world a better place. But if each one of us do this, one by one by one, we will usher in your loving, just, merciful kingdom. And Lord, we come to you knowing that we have fallen short today, this week, in our life. And we come to you asking for forgiveness. But we do so not because we are afraid of your wrath, but because we are in need of your grace. We know that you offer it to us. So that when your Son, Jesus Christ, has said to us, to his followers and to us, that we be perfect as you are, we know that he knew that we weren't going to be. And so we need the grace that he offers to enter through your door, to enter through your gates, to experience the wondrous love and joy that you have prepared for us from the beginning, the foundations of the earth. And once we have experienced that, help us to live in joy. Help us to live in gratitude. Help us to live as a people forgiven and renewed and warm, even when the world is cold. So we pray for all those who have been mentioned today. We lift them up into your care. We know that they need you, just as we do. We pray that they turn to you. We pray that you will show us ways in which we may help them, that we may comfort the Bergeman family on the passing of Donna, that we may rejoice with Ken and Joyce on the birthday of Seth, that we may offer prayers of hope and comfort for Larry as he recovers, and Racine as she is in the hospital, as we celebrate the strengthening and the care that Stetson has received, even as we pray to support the family and hope that he will come home soon. That we rejoice with Tanya on the birth of another grandchild and offer this church as a space for another child to learn about you. As we pray for the Nicholson family and support her and have an active and tangible way in which we may go today to raise funds for her family. We pray these things, Lord, as we know that you are listening and we know that you are here. And we pray for our members who are not here for whatever reason, that they may feel your presence in their lives. And Lord, we pray for those who are struggling, for whom the day is dark, who have a hard time when it is cold, who are battling issues of addiction or mental illness, that they may know that you love them. And may that make the difference in their life. We give you thanks, Lord. You have given us so much. You've given us so much to be thankful for and to celebrate. And it is good and it is right that we come together and worship you not because of what we can get, though there is much benefit from it. But we worship because of what you have given. Your Son, Jesus Christ, born in a stable, raised as a man, died upon a cross and yet came again that we may be with you forever. Let us all together rejoice, celebrate, give praise, and say, Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon.
Thank you. see what's in the way. Sometimes we just need an idea. Push, 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 push. And then we're at the top again. Woo, God! Woo! But let me tell you something. Sometimes our life's like this, and we're like, yeah, God, everything's cool. And then sometimes we're down here. Not so good. We're sad. Or we need help. I want you to look around. See all these people? They're all here to help you. When you feel bad and sad or need help, what do?
Call them.
Call them. You call them and they come help. You pray. Hey, God, I'm stuck down here. I need a little push. And you know what? God brings the rich impairment. God brings these people. And what happens? We push. And sometimes in life, everybody needs a little push. Don't they? And that's what we're here for. All these people. So sometimes we're at the top. And sometimes we're at the bottom.
Yeah.
And when we're at the bottom, we need to push. We need to remember. Pray to God and call on the church people. Because they'll help you and they'll get you on. Woo! So let's practice that one more time. Ready? Let's go. With God. Hey! Here we go. Woo! Back up again. Woo!
It's good to talk about roller coasters in the middle of January because summer will come and it will be, we're at the bottom end of the roller coaster part here in the middle of winter, but summer will come back. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, 10 to 16, and 21 to 22, and that is found on page 60 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. You can read along with me as we read about the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, John said to them, whoever has two coats, share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? And he said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. And soldiers also asked him, what should we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This past Friday, January 6th, this is the day that we, as Christians the world over, mark as Epiphany. It celebrates the coming of the wise men who Matthew tells us came to visit the Christ child after he was born in the house when they were staying. Many people refer to it as Russian Christmas. It is the day that the Russian church on their calendar celebrates Christmas. It's also the day for us, as we mentioned last week, that ends the traditional 12 days of Christmas celebration. the day in which the Messiah was revealed to the Gentiles. That's where it gets its name, Epiphany. It's like when a light bulb goes on in your head and you see or you understand. It's an aha moment. And so essentially the light of the world was revealed to people outside of Judea, outside of Israel, which means that, of course, the Jewish people expected a Messiah. It was part of their history. But these wise men from the east, they had no reason to expect a Messiah. They did not know, or well, I should say, the world outside of Israel did not know about the history. But these men did. And so it was a little foretaste, a little foreshadowing that Jesus Christ was a light that was not going to be hid under a bushel, but indeed revealed to the rest of the world. And it took a while for that to happen. But today, we fast forward a bit. Well, quite a bit. 30-some years. For we read not about the coming of the wise men, but about the coming of John the Baptist. Last we heard, he was still an infant in his mother's womb. But this is also a part of the season of Epiphany, which we are in now, because it commemorates the baptism of Jesus. And that is also another revealing moment. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? If John proclaimed a baptism for the repentance of sins, then why is the one who was without sin being baptized? So that he could be revealed. Because the Gospels, they do. They fast forward, just like you do over the commercials when you watch something, just like I do when I'm on my DVR and I don't watch live TV at all anymore, specifically so that I can just fast forward over the commercials. In the Gospels, we fast forward from Jesus at 12 years old, that's the last thing we ever hear of him in the Gospel of Luke when he's in the temple, to now Jesus as a grown man. Because the Gospel writers want to get to the point. And what is the point? Well, the point, of course, is the crucifixion and the resurrection, but they want to, if you fast forward everything, you fast forward straight to the end, you don't know what's going on. They got to give you important information. And the first important information they want to give you is the baptism of Christ. For essentially 20 or so years, Jesus, as far as we know, toiled in obscurity and lived in his mother's house and was raised just like we raise our children, as far as we know. If anything happened, it was not important to the gospel writers. They didn't know about it or they believed it was not worth mentioning. The first thing that is worth mentioning is his baptism by his cousin John, who has now built quite a bit of reputation for himself that people have flocked from all Judea go to him, be baptized by him for the repentance of sins. And they think maybe John is the one. And they think maybe John is the Messiah, beautiful, wonderful counselor, beautiful Savior that was spoken of by the prophets of old. And they think maybe John is the one who will redeem Israel and get rid of Rome and take care of this wicked King Herod. Because John fits the role. He's a little out there. He's a lot out there. He looks like a prophet. He looks like Isaiah or sounds like Jeremiah. And so they go to him. And he has good news and he has bad news. The bad news is that he's not the one. He's not the one they are to follow. He's not the one they are to worship. The good news is that the one is on his way. He's coming. And he's going to help prepare them for it. And so, the baptism of Jesus is an epiphany. It's an aha, because it's, hey, wait, this is the one. How do we know this? Because when he is baptized, the heavens open up. The voice of God comes out and says, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Wouldn't it be great if that were always the case? Whenever you're wondering what God wants or what God needs or what you should do, wouldn't it be great if the heavens opened up and said, this is what you should do. This is where you should go. This is what you should say. It would be great. But instead, we have to figure it out. And one of the ways we figure it out is to go back to our scriptures and to read what has been left for us and left for the generations for the last 2,000 years and to follow that. Essentially, what we are always saying is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, what should we do? That's just what the people ask John. Because he tells them the good news that Jesus is coming, but we must prepare for him. And so they all say, what should we do? So the tax collectors say, what should we do? The people who came in to be baptized say, what should we do? The soldiers say, what should we do? And as we sit here 2,000 years later, we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ and his baptism. And we believe that he will come again, and we also believe that we must prepare the way for him in our lives. And so we also should ask, what should we do? John said, prepare the way. Isaiah said, John quoted Isaiah, saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I hope we understand the power of metaphor. Otherwise, we're going to be going around looking for the valleys to fill them, looking for the mountains to knock them down. Just like in the roller coaster ride that Heidi gave to us, we will go to Kennywood and we will knock off the top of the Steel Phantom, and we will lift up the bottom of the pitfall, which actually is still not there anymore, so forget that. If we were to do things literally, then we would, especially in Western Pennsylvania, be working really hard to fill those valleys and to raise up those valleys and lower those mountains. But of course, that's not what he's saying. Because then they say to him, the people understand, what should we do? And to each group, he has a different answer. To the Pharisees, he says one thing. To the soldiers, another. To the people coming to be baptized, a third thing. At the beginning of a new year on this, the 2017th Epiphany of our Lord, we also should be like those people, and we should turn and ask ourselves, what should we do to prepare the way of the Lord in this year? John is not here for us to ask, but his words still speak to us. Let his story tell us what to do. First, in a new year, let us renew our focus on Jesus Christ. For many saw John and stopped questioning their hearts that he might be the Messiah. And they thought that because of the way he looked, the way they expected the Messiah to be. And John makes it clear that he is not. He points to the one more powerful than he. And no sooner does he say this than this remarkable thing that John the Baptist is removed from the picture. And later on in the story, we find that he gets imprisoned by Herod. And that's basically where he stays until the end of his life, and the rest of the gospel is almost exclusively about Jesus. Luke never mentions him again. Actually, Matthew does, but Luke never does. He doesn't even actually indicate, if you read closely what we read, that John is the one who baptized Jesus. Matthew does that explicitly, but in Luke it simply says when all people have been baptized, and Jesus also was baptized. Luke really relegates the role of John in the story because he wants the focus to be upon Jesus. Reverend Ron Shirey writes in a commentary in the Gospel of Luke, what Luke has done in his Gospel is to remove John from the stage, clearing it so all eyes may focus upon Jesus. To have an epiphany, you first must be looking in the right direction. You must be focusing on the right thing, and for us it is Christ. His words, his teachings, his life and example. Other things may be good, but that is the thing that should be central. What good does it do to spend so much time concerned with Christ, the child, at Christmas time if we ignore Christ, the man in the new year, Christ, the Savior, for the rest of the time? So let us renew our focus upon Jesus in this year and all that he was and is and will be again for us. Second, what should we do? We should repent. We should ask forgiveness. We should turn around from ways in which we've been walking away from God, and we should go back. Because that's what repentance means, literally, to turn around. John preached a baptism specifically for the repentance of sins, but that doesn't mean that we do not sin again after we are baptized. Of course we do. At New Year's, we often make resolution to improve our life. We always resolve to make ourselves better in some way. And while we make our resolutions to cut out the fat and the candy and to make ourselves healthier, let's also resolve to make our spiritual life healthy as well. Our heart healthy by reducing our cholesterol, but our heart healthy also by repenting of our sins and shortcomings, repeatedly asking for forgiveness. Resolutions are not good if they are not combined with action. Let us therefore resolve to be better, more loving, more forgiving, more gracious and merciful. And then let us do those things as much as possible. Next, let us take specific direction from John. Not to make every mountain low and raise up every valley. But what did he tell the crowd to do? Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Giving has always been a part of being a follower of Christ. It has always been a part of this church, and really any church, or it should be. From the food we have given just recently to community ministries to replenish their food bank in this year. From the money that we give to the church or to Week of Compassion to help not just those locally, but globally around the world. And any other way in which we give. We can give of our money, but we can also give of our time, our talents, our possessions. One of the core ways to be a Christian is to give of ourselves to the benefit of others. And to do so not because of a reward that we're hoping to get in heaven or later on in life, but because of the joy that it brings us now, but of course especially the joy it brings those who receive. And because we know that God gave of himself his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. As God has given to us, let us give as we are able. Give to the less fortunate, give to the church, give to one another. We cannot exist without giving, and now as each of us picks up our envelopes at the beginning of the year, as we take a look at our budget in the coming year, let us give as we can. That our church may continue and that it may also share in the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, lastly, after John disappears from the story, Jesus appears and begins his ministry by teaching us the power of prayer. For Luke says that he was praying when the Holy Spirit descended upon him. If even the Son of God prayed, then should that not be a lesson for us to do so as well? The last thing that we should do to prepare the way of the Lord is to pray. You need help focusing upon Christ, then pray. You don't know how to repent or keep that resolution, or you're having trouble giving up that bad habit or starting that good habit, then pray. You're not sure how much to give or how you can give or who you should help or how you may help somebody who is in need, then pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family and your loved ones. Pray for people you have not even met. Pray for people that you cannot stand. Pray for your enemies. Pray. 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 As we celebrate the anniversary of Jesus' baptism, let us at the beginning of each year remember our own baptism. For baptism assures us of our pardon and our forgiveness, of God's merciful love and grace. Let us be empowered by that, knowing not that we are perfect by any means, but that we are forgiven. And in being forgiven by Christ, we may be made perfect through him. But every day of our life, we will need it. We will not be made perfect until we are with him in heaven. And so each day in this life, let us remember our baptism to remind us of our need for him. And if we have not been baptized, then let us consider that as a possibility in this year. For if even Jesus Christ himself was washed in those waters, then why not us as well? Every time we open the Gospels, we hear John the Baptist telling us to prepare the way of the Lord by making his path straight, filling every valley, making low every mountain and hill, and making the crooked straight and the rough way smooth. And if you wonder at the hearing of those incredible demands, what on earth we should do, these are five ways that we can take each day of this year. Not as chores, not as obligations, not as things to check off our list, but as things that God gives us to do because they will make us better. They will make us happier. They will make us more content, and they will make this year better than before if we do them better than we have before. As we prepare the way of the Lord this year as in the past, I pray that each of you will have that eye-opening epiphany, that revelation, that light bulb that goes off in your head that says, you are my child, and with you I am well pleased. That voice of God that speaks to each of us in its own way. And knowing this, doing what you know you should do, it will make life all the more easy and joyful and rewarding. And that will go a long, long way towards making you a wise man or a wise woman. Amen. And now here at the Christian Church of Collinsville, we invite all believers to come together at the Lord's table. For all believers in Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to take the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. We ask that you take the emblems that they are passed to you and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is in our brown hymnal, number 147, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. All the verses except verse 4. So when I drive from my home to church, I always pass this man. I assume it's a man. I've never actually seen him, but I pass this bulldozer. This field where there's a bulldozer and a bunch of dirt, and that's it. And there's not a sign. It doesn't indicate there's a business. There's not a number you can call or whatever. It's just this bulldozer and a bunch of dirt. And for 13 years, I've seen this bulldozer in different places, and the dirt in different places, but I don't know what's going on. You know, when I first passed, I thought, well, they're building something, but then they never build anything. And I guess maybe what it is this guy who has the space and he sells dirt as fill, but again, there's no signs. There's a part of me, a large part of me, that likes to think that what it is a man who has a very boring office job that he hates. And when he was a child, like me, he loved to play with bulldozers. And every day after his boring office job, he gets into his bulldozer and he moves a pile of dirt from one side of the field to the other, and then he goes home. I really hope that's true. And if it's not true, I don't want to find out because I just really enjoy it. Why do I share that with you? Because when I drove by today, I thought about the verse from Isaiah. Maybe this man
I assume it's a man. Maybe it's a woman. Maybe it's several people. Who knows? Maybe what's going on there is they're filling in the valleys and they're lowering the mountains. It's probably not. But if it isn't true, I don't want to know. I'm just going to keep thinking that. The passage from Isaiah is simply saying to us that the mountains and the valleys, well, you know, if you try to walk through mountains, they make things difficult. They are obstacles from getting from point A to point B. And a big part of Jesus' coming into this world, a big part of the point of that was to remove the obstacles between God and the people. And there were a lot of obstacles between the people and God. And so God comes to us and lifts up those valleys and brings down those mountains and makes us all on this even plane before God to say that you are all equally welcome and you are all equally unworthy and you are all equally loved and forgiven and invited. And so we come to this table and those words should resonate with us. Certainly, throughout the years, many churches have tried to use the table as an obstacle between the people and God. But in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, we invite all people to come to this table because it is not our table. And to be honest with you, I guess I should phrase it better. We don't invite you to come to this table. We simply quote Jesus, who invited you to come to this table. We are all equally welcome. We are all equally unworthy. We are all equally forgiven. And we all have an equal need, no matter what it is that we've done in our life. This table removes all obstacles between us and God. So let us come together, for there is no reason. There is nothing stopping you, except perhaps yourself. This morning, let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we came in here this morning, rushing from the cold to get into this warmth. But we came rushing, yes, because of the temperature, but because the warmth is more, much more than just temperature. It is the warmth of your love and of your passion and of your gentleness and of your understanding. We come here to know that you love us no matter when we make mistakes, no matter when we lean on you a little too hard, or lean on you a little too less. But we know that you are here, and we feel that warmth. And because of that warmth, we can go out into the world, no matter how cold it is, and feel the warmth of God always. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and after he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Now the committee responds to the word of God. Anyone gathered here wishes to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation. I invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is The Solid Rock, verses 1 and 4. It's number 92 in the brown hymnal. Let us stand as we sing. Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.